In case you don't know me, I'm Paul. And first of all, let us pray. We praise you, God, because of your promise that when two or three gathered in your name, you will be among us. And we ask that you today, you speak to us. Open our eyes so that we can see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First question I'm going to ask you, who are you? Again, who are you? If I ask you, you may say, well, my name is something. Okay, a name. If I ask you, who are you? Then you may tell me more about yourself. You may tell me about your family. You may tell me about your parents. And again, I keep on asking you, who are you? Tell me more about you. Then you may tell me what's your hobby, how do you spend your time? You may tell me more about yourself. But actually, who are you? Very simple questions. Anyone know where the question, who are you, first appeared in the Bible? No?
Yeah.
I have to search, okay? It's in Genesis. Can we look at this verse? In Genesis 20, chapter 27, verse 18 to 19. So, Jacob went to see his father, Isaac, and said, my father, and Isaac said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. So in the context, we should, if you go to Sunday school, you know the context maybe. An old man, Isaac, bad eyesight, he got two sons. And the younger son, Jacob, pretend to be his older brother Esau to cheat his brother, cheat his father to ask for the blessing. So when this first question asked, who are you? And Jacob lied. He said, I am Esau. Well, actually, this is not really what I want to talk about, but this is the first question asked. But I think it's quite interesting because he did not tell the truth. He did not know who he is, as if he said, I am Esau, your firstborn. So he was lying. But actually, think about yourself. Are you spending your whole life trying to be someone else? I know a brother called James. But before he became a Christian, he picked his name James. Why? Not because of the James in the Bible, because he wants to be James Bond. Okay? So he picked the name James. Actually, there's maybe someone you like. If you like tennis, you may call your son Roger. Roger Federer. Okay? So you like Roger. You may. So maybe you spend your whole life trying to be someone else, not being yourself. So that's why I want to say, who are you? Are you spending your whole life trying to be someone else? Oh, that guy is good. He's smart. He's strong. He's rich. I want to be like him. So, spending your whole life trying to be someone else is a tragedy. But be yourself. But who are you actually? You may just like another example. I got a friend in primary school. One day he wanted to search how many people with the same name. So he looked in the telephone directory and he found 20 people having the same name. So, who are you? In this billions of people in the world, you are just a tiny speck in the whole world. What is the purpose of your existence? What is the meaning of your life? Another example. If I pick up this piece of metal, it may cut it up. Then I analyze this piece of metal. Oh, 50% is iron, 10% nickel, or different kind of... I can tell you, if you analyze it, you may know the composition of this part of the metal. If I give this part, this metal to you, is it valuable to you? Can you use this part of the metal? For you, it's meaningless, isn't it? So there are millions of people on the earth. If I just pick you out, what is the meaning of your existence? Who are you? Just like taking this piece of metal. If I give it to you, you will throw it away because it means nothing to you, this piece of metal. But to me, this piece of metal is how I can drive my car. So this piece of metal, if this piece of metal can find the master, and I can use it for my purpose and for my will, then this piece of metal is no longer just a piece of metal, it is meaningful. You see? There are millions of pieces of metals like this, but it's no use to me. But this piece of metal in the master's hand can serve master's purpose. And so are you. So who are you? Are you in the master's hand? Can he use you for his purpose? Are you related to God? Is your life valuable in God's hand? Let's look at another verse. In Acts, David, now this passage describes David, his life. For David, after he has served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was buried among his fathers and experienced decay. So I want you to focus. Who is David? What is the importance of David's life? His life. His life is serve the purpose of God. That is a meaningful life, brothers and sisters. You may ask, I'm a sportsman. I like sports. I like blah, blah, blah. I can do this. But is your life in God's hand? Is your life served the purpose, the will of God? Not only that, in his own generation. So in his time, he served God. How about you? You live in here. You are in Calgary, 2021. Are you serving God? Is your life meaningful in God's hand? Or you are just wasting your life? Let's look at another verse. In Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8, it talks about Jesus. Think about who Jesus is. What's his life about? Behold, then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. So Jesus came. Why? He delighted to do God's will. His life is related to God. His life is for God. And how does he spend his life? To do God's will. How did he know God's will? The law is within my heart. He puts God's word in his heart, and then he can do God's will. So in other words, baptism is not enough. You need God's word in your life. And do you have to follow it to do God's will in your life? That makes you important in God's purpose and plan. Let's look at the life of Jesus again. In, next verse, John 4, 34. Jesus said to them, my food, what is sustaining Jesus? Is to do the will of him who sent me. So Jesus has a clear mind. I became flesh. I came to earth. Why? God sent me to do the will of him and to completely finish his work. So his life is meaningful. So each key is meaningful. To me, it's meaningful. This may open my door. This may open my gate. So it must be in my hand so I can use it. How about your life? Is someone using you instead of the Lord is using you? You want to make yourself precious, valuable in the hand of God? Or you want just to waste your life? How are you spending your life? Jesus said, my food is to do, my satisfaction is to do the will of Him, to do the will of God. Is that what you want in your life? Next verse. So what is the will of God? So the whole Bible, you can say lots of history in it. But if you look at the first chapter, oh, God created heaven and earth. Well, what would be the outcome in the end? The first chapter, the first verse, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. But if you go through the whole Bible, 1,189 chapters, if you come to the second last chapter, chapter 21, you see what is the final outcome in God's work. What is the plan of God? What is the purpose of God? We can see He started in the Genesis, creating heaven and earth. Then what would be the final outcome? What is the final product? This is the final product. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and earth passed away, there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Now I want to focus on the New Jerusalem because this is the most important thing in God's heart. Coming down out of heaven from God. Coming down. Everyone focused. Wow! Look at that! Behold! Behold! Like a bride adorned by her husband. Speaks of the love. See, the tabernacle of God is among men. See, the whole universe. God is shouting to the whole universe. This is what I want. This is what I want. So this is the will of God. Now, I need further demonstration. If God wants a holy city, something like this. If God wants a holy city, okay? So what God wants to build it? So He started it. Beginning of the head. Can you come? Can you hold this from one level? So this is the history of mankind. Okay? So in the beginning here, God created heaven and earth. So in the end here, the holy city of God. Okay? Now, what happens in between? Millions, billions of people on earth. God created Adam. God created Adam. But he should obey God, but he failed. So he is no longer a part in the work or the will of God. So after 2,000 years, God called a man. Starts with A. What's his name? Anyone?
Abraham.
Abraham, well done. So after 2,000 years, God called a man called Abraham. So God started to work. And Abraham, you have to leave your country. And Abraham followed God's will. Now notice, he worshipped God, he honored God, he followed God's will. So he moved out, leaving his country towards the promised land. And then through him, God said, you will build up a name. God will, through him, bless all the nations on earth. So through Abraham, God started to work. So Abraham, God, Isaac, and then Jacob, and then it becomes the country of Israel, isn't it? And then after about 1446 BC, God called a man, because the whole Israelites, they are now in Egypt. They are under the bondage. So God raised up a man to deliver his people from the land of Egypt. And this man starts with M. What's his name? Moses. Well done. Oh, you know, you guys know the Bible so well. Okay, so Moses. And then God called Moses to deliver his people. So Moses' whole life serving God in his generation. Okay, so after that, Moses got old, and someone succeeded him. What's his name? J. Well done. I should give you some a lobby next time. Joshua. Moses took the people out from Egypt, but Joshua bring the people into the land to possess the land. But after they got the land, many people going their own way. They don't fear God. So they need a king. So after around 1000 BC, God raised up a man to build up a kingdom. And his name starts with D.
David.
Well done. All of you guys are good. So David built up a kingdom for God. Remember the verse we have seen just now? He served God according to God's purpose in his own generation. So David, his life is meaningless because all these people, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, all their life is related to God and his plan. Okay, there are bad kings after David. They turned away, so God raised up lots of prophets. Can you name two or three prophets? Anyone?
Isaiah
is one of the prophets. And anyone else? Ezekiel. Oh, good. You know Ezekiel. That's good. And after that, the kingdom was divided. And then later on, they lost their kingdom because the Babylonians came and took them captives. So there's no longer Israel in the country. But God raised up some remnants, and God raised up people to call them back to build up the kingdom. Do you know any guys involved in that, going back to rebuild the kingdom? Starts with E or N or Z? No? Zerubbabel, Joshua is the first wave to go back. Second wave, Ezra, and then Nehemiah. These people go back to rebuild Jerusalem. It's important because when they go back, God's prophecy can be fulfilled, because one day Jesus, he came. He came to die on the cross. He came to do God's will. Remember Jesus' whole life. He's seeking after God's will. Okay, so I missed a few verses back there maybe. Remember Jesus asked us to how we pray, your will be done. So Jesus, not only he is going to do God's will, he asked that we should pray for God. Pray to God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And remember when in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, Father. Take this cup away from me. But it's not according to my will, but your will. So Jesus' whole life is doing God's will. He died, he suffered on the cross for the will of God. And later on, because when he has gone, he called disciples, Peter. Any more apostles you can remember apart from Peter?
John,
yes. Andrew, James, blah, blah, blah. And then finally, he called Paul as well, isn't it? Apostle Paul. So all these people, all their lives, they serve God related to the will of God. And now let's cut this short. You hope this part. Can we go back to the time thing? In 1979, God called some people to start gathering. In 1979, in southern part of Sydney, there's a suburb called Lekamba. Do you know Lekamba? Some people start to gather there in 1979. And these people, God moved among them, they served God, and they keep on growing. In 1989, they moved to Apartment. That's how the beginning of this gathering. Okay, so from what I want to tell you is God has not stopped. His work continued 1979, 1989, Atama. Next step, 2001, they start to gather in Beecroft Public School because many people are there and that place has to no longer available. And go further down, you may hear. In 2003, they start to move to Roseville. And 2006, Lincoln. So some of us around here starts to join the group in Lincoln. John starts to join at where? John? When do you start to join? Come comment. When I first came to Australia, I went to a farm. I'm home and now, okay? So 2013, they started meeting group in Auburn. I started to join them in 2014. Okay. So God continued to work around us. We started to realize bilingual is not workable. So we need to start our English meeting. So some people willing to sacrifice, willing to learn to use their clumsy English to communicate. I'm one of them. So we started English meeting in 2014. We keep going on. Oh, one day, too many people from China come. Did we realize we need to move to Calgary? So I never visited that place, but have you been there, all of you?
Yeah.
Okay, so public school. But God doesn't stop there. God is continuing to work. Last year, community center, we started meeting. And this year, the English meeting started. Thank you. Thank you. So what I want to say is simple. Our God is not a retired old man. You can see he is still working. He has a purpose. He wants man to be with him. He started with Adam and blah, blah, blah. So many people he called to serve. So I want to say, not only God has not retired, you are here not by chance. It's not an accident. You are here. God brought you here. I say it again. You may think, oh, my parents brought me here. I come with my friends. No, that's not true. The reason why you're sitting here, God led you here. He called you. So today, I hope you have a vision in your mind. You can see that how God is working continuously, even up to today. He called you. He speak to you. Can you hear His voice? We need vision. We need to see that God is alive. We need to see that how your training, how you become you, is not by accident. As this key is only purposeful in the Master's hand. If I give it to you, to you it's useless. So our whole life is meaningful. Who are you? Can you say your life is called, you are called by God to serve His purpose? Today in Him. We need vision to see who we are. And we need to see we have a mission here. Remember, Abraham, God called Abraham. Abraham has to do something. God called Moses. Moses has to do something. God called David. David has to do something. All these people respond to God's calling. They need to do something. God, they have to make a sacrifice sometimes. God may take away your comfort, take you out of your comfort zone. Abraham may say, this is my country, I'm not going to leave my country. God said, leave your country. Joshua may say, fight these Canaanites, they are giants, how can we overcome them? Yes. You will experience the power of God if you follow God. There are giants in your life, and you can overcome them. So, we have a calling. God called us. We have a mission to accomplish. And coming here, know that in order to fulfill your mission, you need to be trained. There are things you need to learn. As the, you remember the Israelites, when they are in the wilderness, or when they just come into the land of the Canaan, they have to fight spiritual battle. So we are not idle here. Oh, God save me, just to come to Sunday, just to listen to messages all my life. Listen to all these messages. No, you're not here just to listen to messages. We have a greater purpose, can you see? God is not torturing you by bringing you, sit here and listen. No, God is not torturing you. Your life has a mission. God called you. You need to be well equipped. So that's why I written in the baptism card. I don't know if you have read my, what I said there. I hope you know God's words. You know His plan. So can you can know how to discipline yourself to fit into His plan. There are sacrifices to be made, my friend. You need to make sacrifice in order to fulfill your role. Just like Jesus, in order to satisfy God, He died on the cross. And you? Are you struggling just even reading Bible? Oh, too difficult. Sometimes you have to make something, you have to take the challenges. There are difficult times in our lives. Let's look at the last verse in Matthew chapter 28. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore make disciples of all the nations. God today, how about this generation? How can we serve God? God wants disciples. That means we need to be disciplined. We need to be trained. We need to learn. Not just baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, full stop. No, it's just a comma. Keep on reading it, teaching them to observe everything. Everything, my friend, the whole Bible. Don't spend 10 years, 20 years to read through them. Some people don't even read through them their whole life. Read your Bible, knows the plan of God. Everything that He has commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. He will be with us, regardless of circumstances and every occasion, even to the end of age. So my message to you is very simple today. When you think of who are you, the simple answer is, are you someone who are committed as if the key in the Master's hand? Are your whole life in the Master's hand? Are you serving His purpose? He called you to be His disciples, to be disciplined. Observe all things. And we are called, if you search the Bible, we are called to follow Him. We are called to serve Him. We are called to preach Him. How can we preach Him? There are things we need to learn. If you are serious to fulfill your purpose of life in God's hand, we are called to have fellowship, to love Him and love one another. So all this calling from God is so rich. So I hope God opened your ear today. You know, when I say, who are you? You are more than just a name. Are you responding to God's calling today to be His disciples? Let us pray. Father, we thank You. You have an eternal purpose. And we pray that You show us that it's by grace and a blessing for us that we can commit our whole life to live for You and serve You. May every year, especially all the young people here, may they can hear Your calling to them, to be Your disciples, to know You and love You and serve You make our lives meaningful and purposeful. We commit ourselves into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some announcement. Have you? You don't have that? From Neil. Regarding the okay, it's regarding a morning, it's regarding a fellowship dinner on the 13th of June, which is the, because the next day, the Monday is a public holiday, it's a long weekend, it's the Queen's birthday, so, the Queen's happy birthday, so Sunday evening, June the 13th. So if you like to host a potluck dinner, you can contact Neil by the number or the or the email. Okay, so prepare for that day. Okay. Any question? Okay. So the meeting stops here. It's not for everybody. This is for everybody. Okay. Meeting stops here. I suggest everyone can have a quiet prayer time before God to respond to God what we hear today. And then